Lord, as we come unto you, Lord, we're endeavoring to track with you, and I pray you will just help us all to understand your will and to do it, Lord. I feel that you want us in this church to draw closer to you. I just have that strong impression, Lord, that you want us to draw closer to you. I don't know what it's all about, Lord, but that's what I feel you're saying, that we should draw closer to God. So help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be diligent about it. And I pray you'll bless each family here and keep them safe and healthy. I pray, Lord, that you will bless those who are being instructed, the little children and their teachers, who take that time and strength to do that, Lord. And then for all of us, Lord, we need to know what direction you're taking this church and what you want us to do. We're very eager to know, Lord, and we intend to do just what you show us. And I thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I had a strong impression that God wants us all to draw closer to him. And I'm not saying that in a general way. It's always good to draw closer to God. But I just feel there's a specific on that. God wants us to draw closer to him. And I don't know all there is to know about it. I know under the new covenant it says all shall know the Lord from the least to the greatest. And so maybe it's the Christmas season and the Lord thinks we've got our minds on something else. I don't know. But just take it that I feel the Lord is saying he wants us to draw closer to him. And as we've been praying, it's an interesting thing. I believe in praying and then watching to see what God does. I pray and I watch to see where God is. Where is God moving? And I've been praying and praying that God would give us more Spanish-speaking people. The harder I pray, the fewer there are that come. But I notice what keeps increasing is the Filipino congregation. So I would be very happy to have a church full of Filipinos, very happy. And I would be very happy to have a church full of Nigerian people. And you say, well, you know, there isn't room. There'll be room. God will make room. But he wants us to pray that he'll bring the people that he wants. And then we'll track. So you say, well, now where are you moving, Lord? Where are you moving? And I hope Binga brings a whole church full of Nigerian people. It would just please me out of my mind. And it's the same way with the Filipino people. And as I told you that I felt within myself, and this was even before Brother Gentile came, but he confirmed it, that we've had so much and God wants us to begin to reach out. God wants us to be able to take what he has given us and reach out. But see, we have to follow. Now, Lord, just how do you do that? When do you do that? Where do you do that? And he'll help us as individuals and as a church to know what way he wants us to go. I feel we're at a turning point here. And I believe God will show us just what direction he wants us to go. But I do feel that he wants us to be giving as he leads what he has given us. And I think he's going to do that. We've sent Binga, I don't see where Binga is, must be out with his children, but I don't think he knows it, but we have sent thousands of books, free books and booklets to Nigeria. Thousands of them. Thousands of them, over the years, not just this year, but succeeding. Eddie Ryder does that. We've sent so many books there. And the statisticians tell us that the center of Christendom now, which has always been in the Western nations, the center of Christendom is moving to Africa in terms of numbers, where the Western nations are drying up. But the revival is in Africa and Asia. But there's so many millions of people being converted all the while. And in China, too. In China also. China also, you know, where we're slugging along, God is moving. People are being raised from the dead and healed and so on. So what I want to do is track with God. I want to go where God is going, you know. So bring it on, Lord. And I believe we have, in the message we teach here, it's part of the gospel, and I believe we have something to share and to contribute to this worldwide move. And so we just need to, as a church, the answer is prayer, people. The answer is prayer. And I was delighted when I came out and saw the people praying here that came for the burden bearers. Oh, that makes such a difference. But I want to, where's Vi? Oh, okay. Do you have that scripture? When I was praying here, walking back and forth, and everybody was praying around here, and this scripture came to my mind. I don't know how well acquainted you are with it, but it just was impressed on me, and I think it will inspire you to pray. Where is it, Mike? You got it there? Yeah, what's the book? 2 Kings? 1 Kings 18. Let's take a... I think God would have us think about that this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18. I think God would have us think about this. Now, what I'm referring to is the way prayer works. And you keep giving God the initiative. You don't get ahead of God, get all excited, and go out and do something and say, God bless it. Try to pray and then track with the Lord. Are you following me? You watch where God is going. And if God is going to bring Filipino people here, praise the Lord. There's thousands of them in this area. And there are the Spanish-speaking people, too. And maybe that will eventuate also. I hope so. Anyway, well, whatever. But as we pray, we want to... Prayer isn't just getting down and you don't hear anything or see anything or feel anything, but you just kind of go through your list. God do this, God do that, bless this one and that. That's part of it. But when you become more experienced in prayer, you find out as you get down, you kind of get a sense of where God is going. And sometimes it's just a burden. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you. Sometimes the scripture will be revealed. But it isn't a one-way street. It begins to operate in two ways. Now, there's something about prayer. The more you pray, it becomes addictive. When you first start out learning to pray, it's dry as dust. I mean, it really is dry. And you think, oh, I got a million things to do, and here I got to pray for 5 minutes. Whatever I do. But as you begin to, it's just like lifting weights or anything like that, the more you do it, the easier it gets, and the more involved you become in it, and pretty soon you begin to look forward to it. You begin to look forward to praying. And first thing you know, an hour's gone by, and you think, oh, nuts, now I've got to do something else, and I wish I could still keep praying. Honestly, try it, you'll see, it becomes addictive. And you see things begin to happen. So be encouraged, because we have set our goal for the year 2005 that this church will double in Eddie's class. And by the way, if you're not coming to Eddie's class on Tuesday night, you're missing something. I mean, you are missing something. On Tuesday nights here at Eddie's class, tremendous. I've heard such good reports about it. And the Burden Bearers, Stan's class, the Sunday school classes. If we pray, God will hear and God will answer. Yes, He will. Believe it or not, He will. You say, well, the harder I pray, the less happens. That's just the testing. That has nothing to do with it. The Lord said, ask and you shall receive. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And that's God's word. And it will happen. But we have to, God has to see, do we mean business? And the idea isn't how long it takes. The idea is what God said. So there's a very good illustration of this, and I think you'll enjoy this. It's in 1 Kings. And you remember the story that they were up on Mount Carmel. And what was the first spectacular thing that happened up there? Do you remember? All the prophets of Baal were there, and Elijah was there. And something spectacular happened. How many remember what it was? Nancy and Benny, Lloyd, the only ones. Lloyd, what happened?
The sacrifice being burned up by God.
Do you all know that story? Are you unacquainted with that story where the prophets of Baal screamed and cried, and Elijah said, "Let the God that answers by fire be God"? And they put out their sacrifice and praying for fire to come down all day, and nothing happened, and they were cutting themselves and praying and everything else. And what did Elijah do? He cut up his offering, put up 12 stones, made an altar of 12 stones represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he made a trench around it and began to pour water in it. Pour water in it a whole bunch of times. And what did he say? The God that answers by fire, let him be God. The God out of his mouth and the fire came down and burnt up everything. The sacrifice, the altar, the rocks, the water, everything. Must have been atomic fire. So here was a great display of God's power. But the issue was rain. See, they had no rain for several years, I think 3.5 years. And Elijah said, "There's not going to be any rain around here until at my word." So King Ahab was looking for him. So finally, Elijah said, "Go up on top of Mount Carmel, I'll meet you there." And of course, there had been a drought, and people say, "Well, where did they get the water to pour in the sacrifice?" Well, if you look at your map, it overlooks the Mediterranean Sea. So they're probably hauling up in buckets. But in any case, that's what happened. And so now, here's this great thing, and Elijah says, "Get all those 400 prophets of Baal and kill them all and everything." But see, the issue of the rain was not settled. See, the issue of the rain, the whole thing was because they had no rain for 3.5 years. And that was why Ahab was looking for Elijah. Well, you would think after such a miracle like that, that, you know, it would be a slam dunk. I mean, Elijah would just say, "Rain," and down it'd come. But it didn't work like that. And Elijah knew, he knew the way the Lord works. I'm sure the Lord told him exactly what to do, but there still was no rain. There still was no rain at all. It wasn't raining. Whatever. So, if you'll notice what Elijah did, he said, verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, this is verse 41 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there was a sound of a heavy rain." Now, he was saying this because God had showed it to him, but it hadn't happened. Okay? So his actions from here on, I think, apply to this church. If I'm hearing from the Lord, the things I'm telling you are things I think I'm hearing from the Lord. Every cue I have are all turning up in the same way. And I believe this is what God is telling us, that we need to draw closer to Him and to pray, because He has some things in mind for us to do, which will have to do with reaching out, and with getting our personal gifts going. Our personal ministry is going. And see, we believe it, we see it in the Word. Maybe God has spoken to you like Elijah, but he said it by faith. "I hear a whole bunch of rain." But then he didn't do like you sometimes did. "I spoke the creative word and so it's got to rain." Or, I believe, so it's got to rain. Watch what he did, because it's the right way to enter the miraculous. It's the correct way to enter the miraculous works of God. Ahab went off to eat and drink, the king, but Elijah climbed the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. He knew that just because God said that, and because he saw the rain in vision, didn't mean it was going to happen. There's something else had to be done. He had to stay in that area of interaction with the Lord. Are you tracking with me? Do you see what I'm saying? He had, even though the fire had come down, even though he'd heard the still small voice when the wind blew and the rocks flew around and everything, even with all that, he still knew it all depended on his staying in an interaction with the Lord. So when you set out, and I hope each one of us, maybe even today, will decide on some gift, some ministry that you want. Hopefully, we'll be getting into that. It's in your syllabus, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, the two big chapters on gifts and ministries. I hope that you will select something, because it's the will of God that every member of the body of Christ have a gift and a ministry. But as in this case, you just don't say, oh, the Bible says so, so I've got it. Or God told me that I get it. Or I went to Texas and they laid hands on me and prophesied that I'd have it. You have to go till you got it. You have to keep going until it rains. And you never quit. See, time is not an issue in the spirit realm. It's just not an issue. Like Jesus says 2,000 years ago, I come quickly. Time is just not an issue in the spirit realm. The issues are those things which are substantive, those things which God has said and that you're working out, because at any time you can stop the program. It takes two people going at it. I've seen people prophesied over with marvelous ministries. Never has come to pass. Never has come to pass. And you probably have too. But why is that? Was the word God? Yes. What the Lord was telling you is, this is the direction I want to take you. But you see, then your part is to keep tracking with that, keep interacting with it until it comes to pass. You say, well, I've been doing it for 2 years. That's nothing. The reason for the delay in answering your prayers for the miraculous, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about praying for the miraculous. Even though it works out in giving a cup of cold water, still the instigation is a fundamentally miraculous, because you can give a cup of cold water to somebody and they can go out and kill somebody. So you've got to know where God's given the cup of cold water. You've got to know everything that God is doing. Everything that you're doing to serve, you've got to know that God is in it. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know whether you're helping or hindering the program. So you have to be, when you begin to enter into the miraculous, and I believe God wants Mount Zion to enter into the miraculous in this coming year, you've got to stay in that contact with God. Praying, till praying becomes a joy. It's all, you can hardly wait till your time to get to pray, because the Lord keeps showing you stuff and interacting and blessing you and everything, and you can see things happening. It's wonderful. And you get to live that way. You live in prayer. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. That's what I'm sure he was doing with all his troubles. Troubles help us to pray. How many know that? Did you ever find that out? That troubles help you to pray. I mean, you quit praying King James words, ye and thou, and begin to talk to the Lord. I'm tired of all this thee, thou, and all that. Lord, I need help around here. And that's when God hears you. All right. So the first thing he did, he saw it in vision. He had put himself on the line. He said, I hear rain, Ahab, get moving there. But nothing happened. So he continued in the process that brings about the miraculous. You never get discouraged. Just like getting saved or getting healed or being filled with the Spirit. You never get discouraged. This is what God said. I'm going to stay with it until it happens. And it shall. It shall. I've told you before about Brother Seymour. Now, he'd never heard anybody speak in tongues. And he prayed for, at the turn of the last century, he prayed for 2 or 3 years. Kept at it. Kept adding to his prayer. He was praying around 8 hours a day. I think it was, started off at 4 and ended up with 8. And all of a sudden, down from heaven came the gifts of tongues in Los Angeles. Azusa Street. There was nothing there to say what was going to happen. God gave him a burden. He sought the word and he began to pray. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for several years. And all of a sudden, pow! Right out of heaven. In a barn where they were meeting in L.A. up in Azusa Street. That's the way God does. And there's several accounts in Christian history of these sorts of things being happening. And that revival spread from there all over the world. But it began in Azusa Street. People sitting on boards. That revival went on 3 years, night and day. The result of one dishwasher, that's what he was, worked in a restaurant, one dishwasher believed what God said about tongues. Changed the history of the world. Absolutely. You think of all the Pentecostal denominations, the schools, the hospitals, the churches, the missionary work that have been done came out of one black dishwasher in the L.A. area, Monty Bray Street. You say, well, that could never happen to me. No, it won't, because you don't believe it. But what I'm encouraging you is that God has something. Now, He has something for this church. Whether or not we see it will depend on people who persist. Persist. Now notice that God did not send rain immediately. He said to his servant, go and look toward the sea. Now that's an important concept because we've got to realize that when God works, you can examine it. It's not in the realm of, I believe, and it's like in pastels and it'll fade away if you blink. I like to say it's like a truck driving up on your lawn. It's there. You can kick the tires. When God moves, when you're sick and you're prayed for and you feel like you're healed, go to the doctor. He'll tell you whether or not you're healed. I think sometimes people think, oh, if I take a pill, I can't be healed. I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than a pill. So the issue is not whether you went to the doctor or not. That's not the issue. Some people ought to go to the doctor. The thing is, they're afraid they'll find out what's wrong with them. Well, that's no basis for faith. That's just fear. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Go and find out what's wrong with you. Pray. Like he says, go look toward the sea. Let's see if anything's happening up here. He didn't say, I believe. He was praying. Let something happen around here. Go to the doctor and see if he healed you. And if he healed you, the doctor will tell you that he healed you. Oh, yes. God is real, people. He's real. I've been healed. I know what it's like to be healed. And it's real. Not something you have to make up and say, I believe, and hobble around. When he heals you, you're healed and you know it. You can go check it out with the doctor, your neighbor, your worst enemy. You find out that you've been healed. And when God gives you a gift of the Spirit, you'll find out. Now, you may have to track along with the Lord and learn how to use it. I was years learning how to use my own gift. Years. I've been making mistakes and everything. I didn't know what to do. That's why he says, stir up the gift that's within you. You have to learn how to stir it up. You take it up like a... You just stir it up and it starts operating. But you've got to know where and when. And many people in this church prophesy, but they've learned that even though you have a prophecy, doesn't mean you're supposed to give it right then. There's more that operate. You've got to look around and see if there's a cloud. Is this the right time? Oh, God's given me something for the congregation. They come up to me. Well, I've got to decide. Is this appropriate? Is this going to upset what God is doing? What I'm trying to convey to you is it's real. When God moves, it's real. It's not fragile. It's not something that's going to evaporate if you don't do a certain religious number on it. When you've got a prophecy, it's there. And whether it's God's time for you to give it or not, oh boy, have I made mistakes on that. One time when I was a Bible student, we were in a large church. I think it was some kind of a graduation ceremony or something. And they had some distinguished minister, and it was time for him to speak. And we were up, as I remember, I was up in the choir. Maybe we had a choir then, I don't remember. But it seems like I was sitting up there, and here's all these people out here. The lecturer's down here, and the ministers are pushing. And I'm feeling, oh, man, I've got a message in tongues. And the guy came, and he lifted up his hand to start to preach, and I exploded. It was entirely inappropriate. I didn't know how to handle what I had, that's all. It was maybe the right word, but it was the wrong time. But they're very gentle with us, and I never got chewed out about it. But You have to learn how to move with the Spirit. There's a time to pray for the sick, and there's a time not to. There's a time to talk to people about Jesus, and there's a time not to. We learn that as we walk with Christ. I think one of the greatest things we learn in the Lord is a sense of timing. A sense of timing. And doesn't Ecclesiastes say that? There's a time to plant, and a time to reap, a time to speak, a time to be silent, a time to make war, and a time for peace. That's in Ecclesiastes. There's a whole bunch of them. And it's that sense of Jesus. Remember how Jesus said, I'm not going up yet. I'm not going up yet. You can go ahead. Your time is always ready. But I can't go up yet. And when you're a saint and you're walking in the Lord, your time is not always ready. You've got to listen to the Lord. I know that's not always preached that way. You know, any time you can go and buttonhole somebody. No, that could be just the wrong time. You could drive them right out of the kingdom doing that. You've got to feel the Lord, you know. Didn't the Lord go through one place? There's a whole bunch of people waiting for the moving of the water. Well, he could have just said, be healed, and the whole group had stood on their feet. One person. Out of all those people waiting for the water. One person. So, an important part of learning to enter the miraculous, which is God's will for this church, is he wants us to enter the miraculous because that's where the fruitfulness is. And he wants us to enter that. And we're going to have a sense of God's initiative, that God is working with us, we're interacting with the Lord, and that sense of timing. Lord, it's your time now to go down and stand with a sandwich board down Powie Road. I don't know if they let you do that. And say, repent in 3 days, God's going to destroy Powie. But, you know, people do that, and then nothing happens. And, you know, it's an insult to the gospel. There's nothing to that. You know, people keep publishing books on the rapture is going to happen on November 29th. And they get somebody to take care of their pets. And they go through this whole thing. And then nothing happened. You know, that can injure your faith. But when Jonah said what he said, if they hadn't have repented, boy, there'd have been no more city up there. Because he was moving in the Lord. That's what he wants. How many, does that sound good to you, to learn to move in the Lord? Learn to move. It's so restful. It's like a dance. It's so restful. You just move with Jesus. But you can't have your mind on all the things of the world and do that. You've got to be a person who's learning to pray while he's on his feet. Not only in church, but while he's on his feet, learning to pray. Learning to interact. So he says, go look toward the sea. You know, go to the doctor and check it out. See if I got healed yet. And he went up and looked. He's a helper in the church, this fellow, this servant. He said, there's nothing there. Well, I know it's going to get there. And that's the attitude we have to take. Well, we prayed for 100 and the burden bearers, 100. No, okay, go back and look. Don't quit. That's what God is telling us. Don't quit. Make up your mind, this is what you want, and do it. Don't change horses. 7 times he said that. Can you imagine that? The servant comes back. Well, nothing there. Well, go again. Oh, I'm tired of this. Okay. Comes back, nothing there. Well, go again. What's with this guy? All right. Come back, nothing. Well, go again. That's what we've got to learn, people. To go again. Keep watching. Just keep watching. Go again. And 7 times, the 7th time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand. And you know, the people, it used to be heavy, the preaching about apostles, prophets, pastors teaching as evangelists. Five fingers on a hand. Oh, this was big preaching in those days. I tell you, a cloud is small. And when Elijah saw that, see, he saw something in the physical realm. When God moves, he moves in the physical realm. Remember, Jesus said, before you deny me, before the cock crows, how did that go? 3 times, you will deny me, or you will deny me 3 times, and then the cock crowed. I think that's the way it went. You'll deny me 3 times, and then the cock will crow. But, I mean, the rooster crowed. I mean, that rooster, He bellied up there and he crowed because God's hand was on that rooster. He's in the ministry at that time. Listen, when God moves, the stars in their courses fight for Sisera. When God moves, it works out in the physical realm. It's not in a spiritual, metaphysical realm. It's out in the physical realm. That's where God works. And that's where you look for miracles. You see it in the Bible, you pray for it, you get the witness, God has heard you, and then you watch for that cloud. I don't see it. You watch for it. Don't let your faith. He could have said after six times the guys come back, say, well, gather up your stuff and go down. I guess I wasn't hearing God. You could have done that. Hey? No, you go back. Go back, go back, go back till you see it. God has promised rain. And didn't he say in Zechariah 10:1? Ask of the Lord rain. In the time of the harvest rain, we're in that now. He gives everyone grass in the field. We know what that means around here. If you don't get rain, you don't get grass unless you spend a fortune on water. Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and get down before the rain stops you. And it hadn't started raining yet. But he had learned to track with the Lord. I remember when the Lord healed my knee of arthritis. Well, it was swollen up like that. My right knee was swollen up like that. And we were living in an A-frame in Palo Alto. And I was getting ready to go to Kaiser because the doctor told me, you're going to be on crutches. And he'd given me a shot of something. And he said, you'll be back. You're going to be on crutches. So I was getting dressed, getting ready to go to Kaiser. And all of a sudden in the front room, and I didn't even pray for it. And I didn't have it prayed for. Because God sometimes heals you just because you're doing His will. Yeah, sometimes he does. And I was in the front room. I said, I've been healed. Still swollen up. And I started jumping up around the room. I didn't go to Kaiser that day. There's no need to. I knew I was healed. In about a week, the swelling had completely disappeared. And it's never come back. That's been many years. And it was bad. I mean, when that hit me, boy, I go down because it was like a knife. If you've ever had bad arthritis pains, you know, it's something you can't cope with. You can't kind of gum it through. It was so severe. I mean, I thought, well, I'll be on crutches. And I said, the Lord, okay, you want me to be a principal on crutches? Fine. I'm not really relishing the idea, but if that's what you want, hallelujah. You don't have to force things. You don't have to force things. You just kind of serve the Lord and praise Him and pray for what you want. And, never come back. Many years ago. Maybe 40 years ago. I don't know. It's a long time. So, you look for the reality. You look for reality. And I'm looking for reality. If God is going to move and give us a Spanish speaking unit of our church, then I'm looking for that. But if God's going to move in a different way and give us a Filipino unit of our church, then I'm looking for that. If He's going to give us a Nigerian unit of our church, I want to go where God's going. How many can say amen? We want to go where God's going because God has a plan. He has a plan. He could take somebody like Bingham, send him all over Africa preaching the gospel. We don't know. Or Michael, his son. Or the little girl there. We just don't know what God's going to do. He started this whole denomination with one lady. You just don't know. All He expects out of us, Brother Smitter, is obedience, faithfulness, and prayer. That's all He's asking for. We don't have to think it up. He's got it all of the logistics figured out worldwide, where you move here and you move there. We don't have to do that. God does that. What we have to do is what? Obey and pray. Have faith, be obedient, believe the Lord, and keep our minds on the Lord and not get all racked out with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because that isn't going any place. In fact, I saw someone was complaining about that, the Society for the Cruelty to Animals, that putting a light on a reindeer's nose. I mean, people think of. Oh, boy. And there is no rain. You know, not a drop. Get on before the rain stops you. When you're used to moving in the miraculous, you can do that. You can do that. But you see, he was still interacting with reality. It wasn't metaphysical, it was real. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Now notice, the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and that will happen. When you pray through to a real victory in the miraculous, the power of the Lord will come on you. Now this was an old guy, he's probably around 79, I think. And he outran the chariot. So much for retiring. Okay, any question about that so far? Is that all clear, real clear? All right, let's take a look at our syllabus then. All right, we've gone over the first page. The first page, we've got it marked A at the bottom. I think yours says Church A, does it? What does it say? Oh, day Sunday 1. It says Sunday 1. That's what the DOS name is, Sunday 1. All right, we've been through all this. Now notice the last one. We must all be in one accord. This is critically important. Now, I pointed out some ideas about being in one accord. Does anybody remember what they were? What we can do? There's something you can do about that. Oh, okay. You don't remember. Well, I'll tell you then. In any church, I don't care where you go, you're going to find something wrong. You're going to find something wrong. Now, a lot of times you won't see it maybe for 6 months. But eventually, as things go on, you become aware of things and of people. That'll happen in any church you go to. When you go to a new church, it's usually exciting and everything. But after you're there for a while, you begin to see things of which you do not approve. Has anybody been in a church of where they've seen things of which they do not approve? Most everybody in here. Don't all stand and shout. Okay. So the unity things depends on how you handle that. That's all there is to it. It depends on, because you're not going to find a perfect church. If you do, we'll close down and go there. All of us. But I don't think you're going to find one. Maybe they have some in Nigeria, I don't know, or in the Philippines, but there's not too many of them around. All right, now, it's how you handle. Now, of course, Satan gets very active in anything like this, because if he can get this unity in a church, you can forget about the miraculous, because God will not work where there's not unity. He'll work around and work around until he gets unity. All right, so what you do, you take that to the Lord. Simple as that. You just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, these people are coming short here. This is not right. You take it to the Lord. Now, the Lord may say to you, leave. He may say that to you. He may say, leave. And I counsel, sometimes people will call me or write in the email, what will I do? My church is doing this. My church is doing that. I say, don't try to correct the church. Don't try to correct the elders. God hasn't called you to correct the elders. Just pray, do what you can, see what God is saying to you. And if you can't stand it, then go somewhere. God hasn't called you to sit in confusion and anger and criticism and bitterness. You're not going to grow that way. So I tell him, pray. And maybe if you pray, God will change it. But if he doesn't, you may feel God's... You just got to learn how to handle it. But there has to be unity in a church if it's to enter the miraculous. So what you do right is pray and get God's mind on the thing. It may be that God has you there to do the very thing that's needed. Could be. Could very well be. That God has you there, and if he does, he'll do it, and he may give you a chance to help in some way. The wrong way, and it happens more often than the right way, I think, is that somebody will say something derogatory and somebody else say, yeah, I've been thinking of that. Then you got two people. Oh boy, Satan's in the act then. Then you've got a formula for disaster in the church, because that'll spread to three people, because Satan will see to it that it does, because that's poison that's spreading. And it's very delicious. It's a very attractive thing to do. And the first thing you know, you get yourself in spiritual trouble. So when you see things that are wrong, take it to the Lord and see what He would have you do and pray. It may be that God brought you to that church for that very reason, because you're going to be a functioning member of the body in that church, contributing what you have to contribute. I know in time past, we've had ministers of visitation that we've appointed, and they've gone out and people would criticize the church, and you can always criticize the church, and the minister, instead of helping representing the church and saying, well, come on, let's pray and see what we can do, they agree with them. So, oh, it was disastrous. So, things, you know, words of wisdom over from the shoals of time. So what you do is you say, this is my church, this is our church, and God wants to do something here, and I'm going to help by praying. And unless the church goes absolutely nuts, and churches do, churches are so anxious to please people. I saw a picture in the paper, I believe it was in the newspaper, of a church where there's 1,000 people in there, something like that. They're having a pillow fight in the church. Yeah. They want to have a pillow fight, so the pastors, come on, we'll have some fun. They have a pillow fight. Well, that's because the stress is on ministers to get numbers. The way you get numbers is by doing what the people want. And that's just not the Lord. That's just not the Lord. So what we have to do is find out what God wants, do it, and pray to that end, and we'll enter the miraculous. So this one accord business is critically important. Okay, we're over on Sunday 2, bearing the fruit of the kingdom. And I mentioned some prayers here that God will double the size of our congregation, sending us worshipers, warriors, workers, and saints. That's on page B of your syllabus. And if we pray, He will do that. You say, well, maybe He doesn't want to double it. Well, if He doesn't, He'll change the prayer. But in the meantime, we'll assume that He does. You see how you do? You see how you work with it? Don't freeze on it. God might want to quadruple it. See? But we're asking a sensible prayer. The size of this building, the potential with the not only the Anglo people, but the Spanish-speaking people, the Filipino, Tagalog-speaking people, and the people who speak Nigerian, whatever they speak in Nigeria. There's African people in this area. This is a reasonable thing. 200 people, that's nothing. That's a very modest prayer. So when you pray, if you're going to set yourself to pray that prayer, would you please email and just say, I'm going to pray that prayer that God will double the congregation. Not that I'm trying to investigate or approve of you or anything else. It'll just strengthen me, and I'll join my prayers with yours. That's all. I'm not going to see who's praying and who isn't. I'm not into that game. All right. And that each member will pray and find out his or her role in the church and in the body of Christ. Now, if we will do that, God will give every one of us a gift. You say, well, what gift is good? Well, what gift do you want? You can read further in the syllabus. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 gives you an idea of the possibilities. Hallelujah. You'll be praying and praying. It has never happened, but I'll pray anyway. He says pray, so I'll pray anyway. So nothing will happen. Nothing. All of a sudden, wham! It may be in the middle of the night. It may be in the middle of the day. Gifts of healing came to Amy Sumpter McPherson and Catherine Coleman like that. Just when they were ministering, in the course of their ministering, people started being healed. See, when you use your talent, God doubles that talent. So you might pray for, say, well, I'd like to pray for discernment. You pray for it. God may give you that and miracles too. He's waiting to be asked. Does anybody in the house care to ask? Do you care to ask? Be specific. And ask. And keep asking. And if you say, well, maybe it's not God's will, don't let it enter your mind. We understand we want nothing but God's will. That's a premise. We only want God's will. But God said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Hello? Oh boy, we're weak and tired. Pray for strength. Lord, give us all strength at this season. You know what? You guys are all survivors. Do you realize that? You survived Christmas. Congratulations. And all that going on and jingle bells and all of this. And I'm praying for the supernatural. Never happen. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It'll happen when you least expect it. Or it may happen when you expect it. I can't tell you. I know that God is an adventure. And it's up to you. God says, ask. If you don't ask, you'll be standing before Jesus someday. And you'll say, well, if I had a great gift of evangelism, I'd save thousands of people. And the Lord will say, did you ever ask for it? Yes, I asked for it on several occasions. No, you make up your mind where you're going and go there. And if God has something else in mind for you, He will show you. He will show you. Guaranteed. But you have to make the first move. You have to show God, yes, I care enough to come out of this crazy, everybody's griping about how materialistic Christmas is. Aren't we all griping about that? Oh, how terrible it is. All the merchants are getting rich and they don't mention Jesus, or they call it Xmas or something. Are you into that? Don't waste your time. Pray that God will show you some great thing. Say, Lord, it's Christmas time. Put something under my tree. Don't waste your time cursing the darkness. Light a candle. You can be that candle. You! Yeah, I'm just one person. That's how God works, is with one person. You ever notice that in the Bible? We were talking about Elijah. We weren't talking about 3 million Israelites. They were all going around feeding their goats and baking their bread. We're talking about one man. That's you. You say, Elijah came down from heaven. No, he didn't. He went up, but he came here in the ordinary way. At one time, he was a little boy playing with his teddy bear. No, they didn't have those there. They originated with Theodore Roosevelt. Did you know that? That's why they're called teddy bears, from Theodore Roosevelt. They didn't have those, but they had something to play with. Maybe his dreidel. Maybe he played with his dreidel. You don't know what that is? That's a Jewish top that you spin. My little dreidel. Used to sing that song. All right. Now, it'll come when you least expect it. But you keep praying. You don't give up. I think I'm getting somewhere. I begin to feel something heavy moving here. I think it's penetrating into somebody's mind. You mean it really could happen to me? Yes, it can happen to you. It can happen to you. God give us faith. But I'm just a poor little nothing. I'm only past the eighth grade. Has nothing to do with it. Smith Wigglesworth couldn't even read. Boy, what a ministry he had. And he was a plumber. What a ministry. Faith. Shook the world. Smith Wigglesworth from England. Couldn't even read. Except the Bible, and that was a miracle. He read the Bible every day by a miracle. He couldn't read anything else. And he was just an ordinary guy. It's for, well, I'm too old. I'm too young. I've got married. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus said, will you ask? Will you keep on asking? Will you do what I said? Or are you going to go by what you see? Or what you think? You going to limit yourself? No. Well, I've got here that God will establish a Spanish-speaking unit. Well, it looks like we're going to pray for a Filipino unit or a Nigerian unit or whatever kind of unit God wants. We get the people, we'll find a place to put them. All the ministries and gifts of the Spirit. You said all, like in the soap. All. We're going to ask, why don't we ask largely? Come on. We've got a large God. How many think we've got a large God? Did you ever think about molecules? I was thinking about molecules the other day. How did God ever figure out molecules? And they're made up of atoms, which in turn are made up of electrical. How did God figure that out? I think He's greater than we understand. And you're down here, well, God says, I gave you my word. I said, ask and you shall receive. Yes, but. I said, ask and shall. Yes, but you don't know me, Lord. I'm a very ordinary person. I didn't say, unless you're an extraordinary person. I said, ask. Look for the cloud. And then that God will increase the fruitfulness of our book and booklets, tape, the internet sites, and our TV program. I noticed this month quite a jump. So I don't know if somebody took this literally and prayed for the internet, but we had quite a jump. And at Christmas time. Yeah, we did. So I think God's answering prayer. See, you don't believe it. Well, pray for the internet. Yeah, I know. Pray for the internet. I don't know. Now I did that. Now what? Now what's on the TV? God loves people. That's why He made so many of them. I'm almost through here. All right. Day three, C on your syllabus. Mount Zion goal for the year 2005, bearing the fruit of the kingdom. Initiative, God's and ours. All that is saying is that we are working with the Lord. We're not saying, Lord, I'm going to do this and you bless it. I'm going to do that and you bless it. I don't do that. We say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And if you don't hear anything, then you don't go and play checkers or something. You work with the Lord. Well, this is the bottom paragraph. Living and ministering according to God's initiative does not mean we do not do anything. Rather, it means that we seek Christ each day to find out what He wants done and how to do it. Now, I've preached a lot about not going out and trying to do stuff in the flesh, and I'll stick with that. It's right. It's babbling. But that doesn't mean don't do anything. It means watch what God wants you to do. And God has something in here for everybody. Even that little girl, he did the cutest little thing to call her. He has something for her to do. You know, the kids will get it before us adults, dolts. That little girl with the little sash there, she'll get it before we. I'm not kidding. That's Bible. It was out of the mouth of babes. Doesn't it? That's our ordained praise because of the adversary. He speaks to little children. Listen to your children. God will speak to them. That's happening a lot these days. The kids are prophesying and talking to their parents, telling them, you know, the things that God is saying. Listen to them. We've got a new generation coming up. Psalm speaks to the generation that shall praise the Lord. Notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God spoke. By and large, not exclusively, but by and large, religion is man seeking God. Salvation is God seeking man. See? It's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Man's included, but the Lord is first. God's initiative. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. Yes, God seeking man. God's initiative. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is a communal situation here. We may get to that if we get enough persecution. Praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Is God interested in doing that? Would God do that? You mean we don't have to bring in outstanding athletes? The Lord added to their number daily. Say that with me. The Lord added to their number daily. That's what we want, don't we? But notice what they were doing. They were together. See, they were with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now, I'm sure after 25 years passed, this particular church, which grew to 5,000 people, and the pastor was James, I suppose after a while they began to have the things that usually afflict churches. But you see, there was a freshness. Can you remember when you were first saved? I remember when I was first saved, I didn't have it. I thought all Christians were perfect. Really did. And maybe they are. Maybe I was saw better then than I do now. I'd like that freshness in this church. I'd like that freshness. I'd like to see that. I think we're at that place. I think we're at a turning point. I think God has a freshness for us, if we can believe for it. They were all together, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Even the people on the outside were looking at them and saying, this is a happy group. And the Lord added, you know, the question, the issue is really not numbers. That's not the issue. Never shall be. Never was. The only thing about numbers in the Bible is negative. God punished David for numbering the people. It's not the issue. The issue is spiritual health. And when God has our church, Mount Zion, when God has our church functioning the way He wants it to function, I don't think we'll have any problem with people. We should pray, and I still say, pray, ask and you shall receive. But I think as part of that prayer, God will help us to adopt the way He wants it, so that, because that's what they were doing. See, they were pleasing God. They were eating together, doing the Lord's Supper every day, evidently, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. See, that was so pleasing to the Lord that He could bring people. He doesn't want to bring people into some religious group that have their own principles and you know, you get stuck if you're not careful. Huh? He wants people to come where there's freshness and life and joy. I believe that. Does that sound right to you? I believe that. And if we do that, God will bring the people. That's what it says. The Lord added to their number daily. It's those who were being saved. I believe that. And then as far as missions are concerned, look how they approached it. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. They weren't planning. They weren't planning. I was taught in Bible school you're supposed to plan missions. They weren't planning. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. In other words, they were seeking God. They were looking to Him. Then the Holy Spirit spoke as an authority. I like that, because sometimes in Pentecost we think of the Holy Spirit as a good feeling. People, the Holy Spirit is not a good feeling. When we go up to the Jack Hayford meeting, it's on the Holy Spirit. He's moving the four square back in that direction. That's good. And I believe we need to go even further, and recognize the Holy Spirit is God. See, we're baptized into the name of the Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son. And He is God. It's not a good feeling. He's not a tool we use to accomplish our goals. He is God. And look at the authority here. The Spirit said, set apart for me. You feel the authority in that? See, it's the Spirit that gives gifts. It's the Spirit that directs the ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ is the administrator of the church. God the Father gives the power. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and directs ministry, as we see here. And notice that authority. The Spirit, Andrew, the Spirit said, separate to me. Get a feeling for that. Because in Pentecost, we're apt to think of the Spirit as a good feeling or a happy time. No, the Spirit is God. A lot of times we think the Spirit spoke to us. It isn't the Spirit at all. It's one of the spirits in the church. It isn't the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has authority. Separate to me, Barnabas and Saul. Feel that? That what we want? We don't pray to the Spirit. We do not pray to the Spirit. We pray to God in Jesus' name or to Jesus, either one. We never pray to the Spirit. When we are worshiping the Lord and fasting, when that is indicated as God leads, He's led me in fast before. I tell you, when God leads you in a fast, you're not even hungry. I've fasted times when I wasn't in the Lord. And I'll tell you what my prayer was. All I could think was a hamburger and French fries. That's all I could think of. I was down there on my knees in the sawdust in the tent where we used to worship. By the hour, waiting on God and fasting. I didn't eat. Young man, you know, that's hard for young men. And, I had a hamburger and French fries. Oh, no. Think about the Lord. And one time there, I had a brief vision of God the Father. I didn't see His face or anything, but I saw this throne and the power that was going out from it, like rays of power. French fries. But when God puts it on you, you can eat or you're not. It just simply doesn't matter. It's just such a rejoicing, and you can pray. So that also is a gift from God. And they were worshiping God. Oh, Lord, what's next? And the Spirit spoke. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. And from that moment, the history of Western and Eastern civilization changed. Shall we stand?